Good evening. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. You know, folks, it's funny. I just got an email from a new listener here in the Valley. A very nice people, by the way, who had never heard of me before, I guess. Never listened to the Hour of the Time before. Listened to one broadcast and sent me a big, long email about all the things that I should be talking about on the show. That I revealed to the world before anybody else ever even knew that they should be talked about or that they were happening. And I just had a good laugh over that. I haven't answered it, but I will. It's amazing that when I began first revealing the truth of what the New World Order is all about, what's happening and where we're going, many, many years ago, and made predictions about what would happen in the future, all of which have come true. And that I said this before it ever happened. I said that people would go into schoolyards and shopping centers and fast food restaurants and schools and open fire and just randomly kill a lot of people. And that an in-depth investigation would reveal that they were current or ex-mental patients all on some kind of antidepressant or psychotropic drug, such as Prozac. And all of that happened. And the reason that was able to do that over all these years is because many, many years ago when I was in the Office of Naval Intelligence, attached to the Office of Naval Intelligence, and the briefing team of the Commander-in-Chief of the United States Pacific Fleet, without even realizing it, I was privy to a lot of the documents outlining the plan for the New World Order and how they were going to bring it about. And that's what caused me to leave the military service. You see, I'd planned to stay in and retire. But I left just 5 short years before, actually closer to 4 years before I could have retired very comfortably on what all of you call your tax dollars. But instead, I chose to get out and devoted my life to education and research and put it all together. I was the first one to put it together. The first one to tell the world. Now everybody's coming out and talking about all these things as if they invented it. It just amazes me that when I first began talking about telling everybody what was going to happen and what I knew, viciously attacked. I had to travel 1,000 miles just to get 3 people to listen to me in somebody's living room somewhere, and none of them would chip in and help pay for my travel expenses or anything else. It was a real bitch getting to this point, I got to tell you. But I'm very happy that due to my efforts over the years and a few other people, and believe me when I say few, I mean very few other people who were right on target and doing the same thing that I was doing and taking the flak that came along with it, we have awakened a very sizable percentage of the population. Now, whether they ever decide to do anything or not is a completely different question, but they've been handed the truth and the documentation, and they are now responsible to do something about it. And there will be a civil war in this country. It's unavoidable. It cannot be avoided. It will happen. And I've spent a good portion of my life on the air, in my newspaper, Veritas, in my book, trying to get a consensus of the voting population to become knowledgeable and act so that none of this ever has to happen. See, my goal was to prevent armed conflict. I fought in a war in Vietnam. I know what war is like. War is not glorious. There are no heroes. There really aren't, folks. People do what they have to do in the heat of the moment. Most of the time, they don't even realize what they're doing. We call them heroes. And believe me, you do your job. And in the thick of battle, when you just know you're all going to get killed, you're not fighting for your country anymore. You're fighting for each other. Everything you do is to save the lives of you and your comrades, your friends in arms. I remember that probably more than anything. Now, there is a closeness that develops amongst soldiers who fight with each other for a period of time. You may never know where a man is from or what his father does for a living or anything about his girlfriend because you try not to learn those things so you won't be hurt so much when your friends are killed. But you learn more about them personally, about their personality and about who they are, than anyone on earth ever can. And so you develop this closeness and you learn who you can depend upon and who you cannot very quickly. And the natural leaders emerge. Sometimes people you would never dream could ever be a leader. And I've seen instances in Vietnam where officers, much to their amazement, found that in the heat of battle, their men stopped following them and followed someone else, sometimes just a private, because he was the better leader. And nobody ever said a word about it. Smart officers kept their mouths shut. Because 9 times out of 10, if the men hadn't followed the real leader, that officer would have got them all killed, including himself. It's amazing what you learn in real war. Real war, not television. Saving Private Ryan. Apocalypse Now. Hamburger Hill. All those... Oh, what's his name? The guy that's pretty famous. Platoon. He made Platoon. All bullshit. The only thing that even came close to reality, from my perspective in any of those movies, was some of the parts of Apocalypse Now controlling the way that the patrol boat operated and the commandment. Thou shalt never leave thou boat. Never leave your boat. Never, ever leave the boat. That was true. That rocket attack was very realistic. Exactly the way it was. Some of the firefights they got into, very realistic. However, the scene at the bridge where there was no leadership whatsoever and everybody was just sitting around smoking pot and shooting off into the night, bullshit, total bullshit. scenes in Platoon where senior sergeants were laying in a hammock in a hooch with a bunch of privates smoking pot and getting high and having a party. Total bullshit. No one would ever follow a sergeant who behaved in that manner. Total crap. The ending scenes in Apocalypse Now, right out of fantasy land. Right out of fantasy land. The boys in Company C, more bullshit. More bullshit. Full Metal Jacket, very realistic. Full Metal Jacket was pretty close to the truth. Boot camp and all, as a matter of fact. And the combat scenes and the way that they worked together, very realistic. Although the way they dressed was not. The military doesn't change just because you're in war, believe me. Some of those guys would have been court-martialed for the way they dressed. And all this stuff about all the GIs in Vietnam being high on dope, being dope heads, total bullshit. Total bullshit. There was some dope in Vietnam. There were people who sought it out and used it. They never did it openly. They never did it in front of their sergeants or their officers. They never, ever did it while they were on duty. Except for just a very small percentage. Most of them usually get caught. When they get caught, they go to jail, prison. They get court-martialed. They end up in places like Fort Leavenworth. It's total bullshit, crap. I don't know why people believe that about our military people. Lots of drinking. On the river I patrolled near the DMZ, when we would be going upriver on patrol on the south bank, somewhere in the Tulima patrol area, there was always this little table, two chairs, a big, colorful umbrella, and a couple of Vietnamese ladies sitting there. And we called the boss lady, we call her Whiskey Sue, because you could always nose your boat into the bank there and buy any kind of whiskey or scotch or booze you wanted. That was her specialty. I don't know where she got it. I didn't care. I never asked. I always kept a bottle of scotch on the boat. And after a firefight, when my men were so keyed up and wound up and their knees were shaking and they couldn't stand, I'd give them all a shot of scotch. Me too. But that was it. One shot. In the Navy, we call it medicine. On board ship, it's usually brandy. And it's only administered on the order of the senior corpsman or the doctor, if there is one aboard your ship. On board a patrol boat in Vietnam, the captain is God. I was the captain. In fact, on board any Navy vessel, the captain is God. And I mean literally, God. And tell you quite frankly, at the time, I was too young to be God. I really was. But I did my job well. I took care of my boat and my crew. Except for the death of my gunner's mate, Robert T. Barron, whom I dedicated my book to. I never lost a man. Pretty proud of that. Saw a lot of people killed a lot of people, but I never lost one of my men, except for Gunner's Mate Third Class Robert T. Barron. He was not on my boat when he was killed. strange things happened. And I guess what brought this on, probably wondering, why is he talking about this stuff? What brought this on was tomorrow's Thanksgiving, and I was just thinking today about all the things I should be giving thanks for. And getting out of there with my life is one of them. I got to tell you, standing on the deck of a boat in the middle of a river, where there's no place to hide, no foxhole you can jump into, things get pretty hot and pretty hairy and really, really, really scary. And there's been many times, many nights, when after it was all over, my knees wouldn't hold me up anymore. And the barrels of the 50s would be so hot they would be glowing red, and we would light our cigarettes off the 50 barrels, 50 caliber barrels. The M60 barrels would look like pretzels. They just were limp. We changed a lot of M60 barrels. And not too long ago, well, let me preface that with, years ago, I began writing a book about my experiences in Vietnam on the river. And I have a big, thick manuscript, and it got misplaced somewhere. So Doyle is usually the one who goes and searches through the storage to find stuff when we need it. And I ask him, you know, when he's there, you know, looking through stuff, if he ever comes across anything that looks like a manuscript, bring it back. Not too long ago, he found it. He found it. It gave me goosebumps. It brought a rush of adrenaline through my body like you wouldn't believe. It was like I was right back there in the middle of a firefight again. And when I began to read what I had written years ago, the tears began to come out of my eyes, and I just felt this overwhelming emotion, the same emotion I felt when I went to the wall in Washington, D.C. You know, there were several million men who went to Vietnam, but there's only a couple of hundred thousand of us who ever really experienced combat and actually fought the enemy. And none of us who ever did that can stand before that wall without crying. And none of us can tell you why. I can't tell you why. All I know is when I go to the wall, the first time was just devastating. As I began walking toward it, I felt this tremendous waves of emotion just overcoming me, actually, literally overcoming me. And then the tears began to come, and then I began to sob, and then I just cried from the very depths of my soul, it seemed like. And there were other people there in their old uniforms doing the same thing. None of us were ashamed of it at all. We were mystified, surprised. And just looking at all those, see, I... just talking about it, I start feeling that again. And just looking at those rows and rows and rows of names of good men, most of them boys, really, who died for something that nobody really even understands to this day. First time I ever saw the wall was on television. And I felt those waves of emotion coming through my body. Not the same as being there. And I shed a few little tears and sort of wiped them away, didn't let anybody see it. But when I went there, it was like a river, like a dam burst. And I can't tell you why. To this day, I don't know why. I don't know what it is, where it comes from, but deep inside me and every other man that ever fought Vietnam, there is this pent-up emotion that in some instances breaks loose, and there's nothing we can do to stop it. So that's one of the things that I was thinking about today, that I am so thankful that except for one man, I was able to keep my men alive through all the hell and the fury and the fear. And the, you see, we only patrolled at night, every night. There was never a break. There was never a day off. It was every night, night in and night out, all night. In the darkest dark you've ever seen, in the middle of the monsoon, where it never stopped raining for 3 months, and you couldn't even see your finger right in front of your eye. If you poked your eye, you couldn't see it. And we would engage the enemy in this darkness. Nobody who ever fought in that war will ever forget the flares. Flares made a ghostly light. They made shadows dance and move. It was spooky. It was like you were living inside of a horror movie. And then out of the night, these little pinpricks of light would come flying at you. First, it looked like they were in slow motion. And it looked like they were coming so slow, and they were so beautiful they couldn't possibly hurt you. All of our tracers were red. Theirs was green. And when they used ammunition they'd captured from us, it was red too. So they would be throwing red and green little balls of light at us, and we would be throwing red balls back at them. And the noise was unbelievable. And to this day, I'm hard of hearing from all of the guns going off around me and the explosions and the B-40 rockets that hit our boat or hit near it. And I just feel so sorry for all of those people who didn't come back. And I feel sorry for their families who are going to be partaking of a turkey tomorrow without those good men. Now, I never think of these things on Veterans Day. To me, it's a joke. Veterans Day. But Thanksgiving is different. Christmas is different. 4th of July, to me, is a day of divine inspiration and day to be revered. With me, and most people look at Thanksgiving as just another holiday. They don't really give thanks for anything or think about how lucky they are. It's a day to be off and be with the family and have a big turkey dinner. And some homes, prayers are still observed. Most, nobody gives a damn. Nobody says a prayer. Nobody gives thanks for their good fortune. And that is very sad. Because that's what this day is all about. This day that will dawn tomorrow. And I know it's going to be a beautiful day wherever you're at. No matter what the weather is, it's going to be a beautiful day.
All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, there's a loud knock on your door. Something's not right.
Watch your arms. Things can fall massively. We're here from the government. We're here to help you.
And I'm from the IRS with a power to tax. Did you guys complain? Stay in the back.
You got in this house. So did your guns.
give me your gold. You may obey and do what I command. Down to the doorstep and do what you're told.
Hillary Salala, Reno Janet Dyke, reading the words of General Albert Pike, the money founder of the Ku Klux Klan, engineer of the Masonic Master Plan. Pike said Lucifer is God across this land, and Clinton saying take the mark in your right hand. While we're all dancing to the drums of the Fourth Reich, Clinton's preparing it for another huge tax hike. Order out of chaos, depression, inflation, create the panic and rape the nation. Order. Crisis creation. Incite black and white. Program agitation.
Don't resist. You're surrounded. By the UN in white and blue. The ATF, the men in black, of the one world order.
But it's not new. Iron Mountain, computer beasts, and cattle mutilations. Black projects, UFOs, and weird genetic combinations. The Nazi doctors didn't die. Come on, get him. They came here with the OSS through Operation Paperclip. National ID, debit card? Yeah. Vaccination, biochip, milk carton kits, genetic engineering. Clinton says her health plans for you and your own good. Sure. And Adolf Hitler's Robin Hood. Masonic mind manipulation. Inciting riots is crisis creation. Biochip implantation. Vaccinate your kid for UN identification.
This is a test for all of us. So I have today just one simple request. A comprehensive package of health care benefits that are always there and that can never be taken away, ever be taken away, ever be taken away.
Atmospheric, social illusion, media hype, planned confusion,
Masonic religion, it's a liar. Got you praying for a Luciferian Messiah.
The Illuminati thinks that they're enlightened, that they're to be the gods of Earth, born of incest from the sons of Satan and their sisters in satanic birth. Hidden agenda, Kissinger, Nixon, Ford, and Bill, while your kids out back smoking crack for some cheap thrill. They numbed us down and dumbed us down with fluoride TV drugs, the NEA, and public schools. They've taken your brightest and our best and made them public fools. With managed media, brain-bending lies and stealth, the banksters stole your wealth. Johnson, Bush, Carter, Reagan, Gore, and Dan, they've all been pushing pipes, Masonic master plan. Rhodes Scholar oration, Clinton speaks, then rapes the nation. Luciferian subjugation, New World Order, Illuminati coronation,
mass media grand ovation,
orders of the quest, think they're superior, they think that they're the best.
And you're inferior, you little pet.
Skull and Bones, Scroll and Key, Knights Templar, Harvard University.
They're the Faustian Fraternity.
Knights of the Golden Circle, Ancient Order of the Rosen Cross, CFR Albatross.
It's a party. Rockefeller's Bob.
MK Ultra, ISA from the OSS to the CIA.
Mass murder. It's a game they play.
Galileo, NASA, Jupiter, Plutonium 2000.
Dual sun. They'll call it Lucifer. Or what?
Pyramid Giza. Hitler called it the Luciferian Millennium.
1,000 points of light.
Thunderdome, Thunderdome, I just call it Lucas Cut.
If the UN lives, y'all go bust.
Wake up, stupid, and read the scoop. Mullen, Sutton, Griffin, and tune in to Coop.
Come on, Thunderdome, Tuesday.
Bohemian Grove, Beverly Hall, Lord Betraya, they want it all.
Yeah, they want it all.
Kissinger, Gingrich, Army, Buckley, Dole, New World Order, Authoritarian Control.
Counterfeit.
Just a little reminder, ladies and gentlemen, and I hope you are duly reminded that when they take this country down, they will do it on Thanksgiving Day, Christmas Day, New Year's Day, Easter, or the 4th of July. The goal will be to catch all patriots at home, full of turkey, stuffed with an Easter ham, maybe. Maybe a few drinks under their belt, sleepy, lounging on the couch or in the chair watching some football game, caught unawares, with their pants down. Understand? Get my drift. I've been warning you about this every year. No one knows the date they intend to implement their world government plan. But in effect, it's already in place. All they have to do is make sure that it is secure and reveal it openly to the public of the world. The only thing standing in their way are the patriots in the United States of America who keep and bear arms. Never, ever give up your guns. Never, ever give up your guns. I want to give special thanks to the people in California who, to date, with the deadline just a few days away, have only turned in about 350 of the newly outlawed so-called assault weapons. Three cheers for the gun owners in California. Don't turn in your guns no matter what. And if they come to your door to get them, give them to them bullets first. Give them all your bullets first, and when they've taken all your bullets, then you can give them your gun. I hope you know what I mean by give them your bullets. Shoot the bastards. Shoot them. Don't ever give in to tyranny. Don't bow to their Marxist New World Order. Don't give up what all the men who have fought for liberty and for the Constitution and all the history of this country died for. Don't make their deaths worthless. Don't give up the ship. And remember, you can never be free unless you're willing to die for it. You can never be free if you are tied to material possessions. You can never be free unless you love freedom and are willing to pay the ultimate price, if that price is demanded by God, and that is to give up your life in defense of it. And remember that if you cannot stand fast, if you do not have the courage, the bravery, if you don't have what it takes to fight the battles, your children, and their children's children will live in slavery. When you look at your family and say you love them, how much do you love them? Do you love them enough to die for their freedom? Or are you just another bullshit artist? Are you thankful for what you have, that all those who've defied, died in defense of the Constitution and of this country have made possible for us to enjoy? Are you thankful for that? If you are, then give thanks for it tomorrow. Send up honest prayers in thanksgiving tomorrow for all of the good and wonderful things that we have and for all the good and wonderful men and women who died to make it possible. For the founding fathers who, by some wild stretch of providence, all came together, this incredible group of geniuses in one spot. For the first time in the history of the world, set the common man free. And created a government to be his chattel servant. As is the nature of all governments, it got greedy. Has reached outside its jurisdiction, outside its bounds, and is now a tyrant. Thomas Jefferson said the tree of liberty must occasionally be watered by the blood of patriots and tyrants. Eternal vigilance is the price of freedom. You cannot be free if you are not willing to die for it. You have to be willing to lose all for it. You have to be willing to turn your back on everything that you own and cherish and love, if required, to ensure that we will always have it. We all die, ladies and gentlemen. All of us are going to die. Listen to me carefully, because I don't think some of you realize that all of us will die. And it's not when you die that counts, it's how you die, what you died for, what the meaning of your life is. What did you do to make life for your children and their children and their children's children better? Some people think life is so precious that they hang on to it in the face of all reason, rolling over in their own excrement in some old folks' home because they don't pay the attendants enough to keep them clean. Half out of their mind, can't remember a damn thing, pitiful. Is that the way you want to die? Because I don't care what your children tell you now. When you get old, they're not going to keep you at home and let you die at home. They're going to do like everybody else does. They're going to warehouse you in an old folks' home while you sit there waiting to die. It's pitiful. It's pitiful that the people who changed our poopy diapers and took care of us when we were sick and ill and little and guarded us and protected us when we were babies, we are not willing to do the same for them when they reach their old age. It's pathetic. It's an indication that we've lost our minds. Lost our minds. And who pays for it? Usually the government. Sucking off the tit again. The nation of cowardly tit suckers. It's what they are. You can't be free like that. I have a good friend who was getting out of the system, learning how to be free and enjoying it, loving every single second of it. And then one day he came up and got out of his car and said, "Bill, I'm rich. I'm rich. I can't believe it. I'm rich." I said, "What do you mean?" And I'm not going to tell you who it is because I don't want to embarrass him. He said, "I just found out that there's an aid program in the government, and they say that I can have $103,000 because I qualify for it." I looked at him and I said, "Well, I guess then you're rich, but you're not free." He said, "What?" I said, you can't be free if you accept that money. If you accept that money, you become a child of the government. They can rule your life. You can't be free if you accept that money. See, the law is, and it's always been the law throughout the ages, is that the benefactor who takes care of you and changes your diaper and gives you money and all that kind of stuff has a right to decide your life. He looked at me for a minute. He says, you mean I can't have the money? I said, you can have the money if you want it, but you just can't be free if you have it. He looked at me for a minute and he says, oh, damn. For a few minutes, I thought I was rich. And he told them to take their money and stick it. He did the right thing. He did the right thing. I was so proud of him. I'm still proud of him today. I'm just so proud of him I could bust. How many people would have the wherewithal, the moral fortitude, the understanding of freedom that would allow them to say, no, I don't want your money. See, that's how cities and states get bought. They accept money for interstate highways. They accept government funds for their police force. They accept federal funds for city improvements. And everybody gets greedy. They don't understand. If they stop sending their money to the federal government and keep it at home, they'd have a lot more money than they ever dreamed of or ever will get from the federal government. Because most of it disappears down the federal government's administrative costs. All that money they send to Washington, D.C. disappears in a bottomless pit. And everything that you pay in income taxes goes to service the interest on the national debt. None of it goes to fund government or pay for anything. None of it. And if you have half a brain for mathematics and you discover what the national debt is, and I'm not talking about deficit, and all this crap baloney about balanced budget, you think that we're in the clear, you better think again. Balanced budget, all that means is they didn't spend more than what they allotted to spend. And they can allot to spend more than they've ever spent before, and as long as they stay in that budget, the budget's balanced. You crazy nuts. You think everything's okay. Well, it used to be they'd try to save money, they wouldn't allot so much, they'd spend more than what they allotted, and there'd be a deficit. And the budget wouldn't be balanced. And you thought something was wrong. Take a look at the national debt, ladies and gentlemen, and take a look at the interest that must be serviced every year. It is to the point, and has been for some time, that if they took all your income taxes and doubled them, you couldn't service the interest on the national debt or ever pay off any of the principal. That's why the debt keeps getting bigger, because the interest that's unpaid is piling up, and now it earns interest. The ignorance of the American people is just wild. People in other countries look at us and shake their head. They think we're insane because we're so stupid, and it's the truth. It's absolutely amazing. Boggles the mind. For those of you who have been calling wanting to know the address of the hospital where my mother is, get a pen and paper because I have it here. And I'm giving you fair warning. In about a few minutes, I'm going to give it to you. So for those of you who have been calling wanting to know the address of the hospital where my mother is at, she's had a terrible stroke. I'm going to give you that address in a few minutes, so I give you time to run around and fetch a pen and paper. And I want to thank all of you sincerely who have been saying prayers for my mother and who have sent flowers. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Many of you found out where the hospital was on your own and just sent flowers. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I know you've made an old woman very happy. At least as happy as she can be under the circumstances. Nothing like being very ill and think that nobody cares. That's a terrible thing. Well, she knows that a lot of people care. And I know that that is a great comfort to her. Well, I hope you've got your pen and paper now. Here is the address. It's Valley Baptist Medical Center. That's Valley Baptist Medical Center. 2101 Pease Street. That's spelled P-E-A-S-E Street. That's Valley Baptist Medical Center. 2101 Pease Street, spelled P-E-A-S-E, in Harlingen, Texas, H-A-R-L-I-N-G-E-N. That's H-A-R-L-I-N-G-E-N, Texas. I'm going to read this two more times. Valley Baptist Medical Center, 2101 Pease Street, spelled P-E-A-S-E, in Harlingen, spelled H-A-R-L-I-N-G-E-N, Texas. I don't know the zip. Valley Baptist Medical Center, 2101 Pease Street, Harlingen, Texas. And here's a telephone number here. You can't speak to my mom. She can't talk. But if you want to call them and get the zip code, the number is 956-389-1100. That's 956-389-1100. I'm going to open the phones now and take your calls. And the topic is open. Whatever you want to talk about is okay by me, Mom. Let me see. What do we got here?
The Communist Party is actively supporting the changes to the New World Order. The basic tenets of Christianity, which were the basis of the Old World Order, will have to be eliminated. If the slower methodical techniques of change do not function, violence will be introduced and controlled by the planners, including the possibly a World War III using atomic weapons.
Shortly after martial law is declared. These are people that the government is going to want to eliminate. And there will be some areas.
The people of the world will give up their freedom to the controllers because there will be a planned famine or some other serious occurrence, such as a depression or war. The change to the New World Order is coming shortly, folks. And it has already begun.
These are people that the government is going to want to eliminate, and they will be summarily executed. That means without a trial. And it's possible, it's entirely likely, that some of us are on that list.
Structure will be in place by the year
They're not going to stay united very long. Nothing in Satan's kingdom ever stays connected together. So this won't stay united very long. The secret society, etc., etc. No one sees these people and or recognizes their name. By design. They're all kidding. Politics, education, religion, and economics. The things they supposedly teach the children in school. You got two presidents, both of which tried, for instance, to issue money from our own federal government rather than borrowing it from a Federal Reserve that isn't even government-owned or run. Abraham Lincoln. Kennedy. We're not going to get into how imperfect they were. But they were men with good intentions for the most part. Tell him, get him out of the way. He's opposing what I want to do. Tell him, get him out of the way. He's opposing what I want to do. Picture?
And some may heat them up, and some may decide they're going to pay attention. Maybe they're going to decide to. And some may heat them up, and some may decide they're going to pay attention. Maybe they're going to decide to.
Good evening, you're on the air.
Florida.
Hi, Dave. How you doing?
Pretty good. I said prayers for your mother.
Thank you very much, my friend.
And I had a experience. I'll make it very brief. My truck lock on the ignition seized up, and I had to be towed into the state capital of Tallahassee. And they replaced the lock, and they saw that I was a retired locksmith. And I asked the locksmith, do you have a Medico cylindrical deadbolt? And I saw him right there. And he wouldn't sell me one. He kept discouraging, you know, me from buying one. He said, Medico cannot be picked. He said, do you want me to install it? I said, no, I'll install it. I just want to purchase one. And he said the only reason you need them is for key control, and that's the only reason we use them. And this is very suspicious to me because in New York, everybody has a medical lock, and they don't want people to have them down here, and they won't sell them to you. You mentioned that they're going to, you know, hit everybody's house when they're gone. If you're using a quick set lock.
No, they'll hit everybody's house when they're home.
When they're home.
That's what they want.
Right, but if you have a medical lock, Bill, you cannot pick it. I believe you'd know the reason. And it's got hard plate, and you have a secure lock. And they don't want people to have it down here. Ridiculous.
Huh. I don't know anything about that, but I don't think locks are going to stop these guys. I think they're going to knock the doors right off the hinges if they have to.
Well, I have my doors chained with padlocks on them when I'm in my house. So they have to go through the chain, then they have to go through another door, both deadbolts. So I have some time to, you know.
Then they have to go through a few clips of ammo, huh?
Right. And then a very good friend of mine gave me a second chance body armor vest. So I'll get a few shots off. But
good for you.
I have had times when they came in here and looked around and then relocked this house. And you know as well as I do how easy a quick set lock is to pick.
Yeah. Well, listen, is there a point to this?
The point is, why did the locksmith in the state capitol discourage me so much? I didn't want to get in an argument with him.
I don't know.
Overselling me a very high security deadbolt when I was willing to pay cash.
I don't know. Maybe he's in charge of the local theft ring.
Well, I found out that these locksmiths work hand in hand with the local police department. And if you have them install a lock, they've got your key code for your home.
Well, that doesn't surprise me a bit. They've even got codes in copiers now that they can, if something turns up that was copied on a copier,
right,
they can read a code on that piece of paper that you can't see that tells them exactly which copier it was copied on.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the truth. It's been revealed now. It's open knowledge.
Yeah.
But for years, we didn't know that. We didn't know they were doing that. Listen, I got to let you go and get somebody else in here because it's almost the end of the show.
Okay. Thanks. God bless you, Bill.
Thanks, Dave.
Bye.
520-333-4578. We've got time for maybe one more call, I think. 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. It's Tim.
All right.
I'm going to be as bold as say I was listening to your show. I think you were talking about me. About that gentleman that can receive money from the government.
Was I talking about you?
If you were, I'm proud to say you were. I am not embarrassed about it at all.
Well, I was.
Well, let me tell you something. The ante's up to $202,000. You're just making it sweeter and sweeter all the time.
They're trying to buy you, huh?
Yeah, they are. And I tell you what, it was a hard lump. When I looked you in the eyes, that was one of the hardest things I think I've ever done in my life, to turn down $200,000 of free money.
Yeah.
But
well, I certainly admire you for it. Most people wouldn't have the moral fortitude or the strength to do it.
Well, let me tell you something. We need more educators like you to make people realize, I mean, you can never embarrass me. You may tick me off every once in a while, but...
Oh, I know I've made you just a matter of a hornet a couple of times. You could have killed me.
But... never embarrassed. I mean, you do things out of the kindness of your heart, and people just have you got to have enough freaking brains to realize that's what's happening. And it did. I finally realized it's time. And that's it.
Okay.
When you said that, I just said, well, you know, I'm sure that's what you're talking about, but I thought I'd call and tell the people it is me. And I'm not embarrassed to say they tempted me with some honey.
Yeah, they sure did.
But between me and Pauline, it took two of us to say no.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'll let you go.
Okay.
All right, Bill.
Thanks, Tim.
Good night, and have a good holiday.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for being honest, my friend. Good night, folks. God bless you all. Good night, Annie Poo and Allison. Happy Thanksgiving. I will miss you, especially Poo and I used to cook the Thanksgiving Christmas turkeys every year. So, good night.
Glad you could make it. Welcome to the new world. Never in human history has so few taken so much from so many as America's Illuminati and their warlords of Wall Street and Washington. In just 8 years, these banksters and international government gangsters took us from the greatest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation on Earth. Our standard of living has dropped like a rock for 4 out of every 5 Americans. They have foreclosed on our homes, our farms, our factories. They've exported your jobs and surrendered our arms.
They want
a new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
The Illuminati wants you to be a slave from birth to grave. The banksters own the Federal Reserve. It's private. They own it. It's neither federal nor a reserve. The cashists make that fiat funny money stuff you call dollars for 2 pennies. They lend it back to us at full face value, then charge you interest. You get the debt. They get the interest. They get the gold. You get the shell.
They want it.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
Yeah.